some of them removed to trees.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, September 23rd. And this evening, the City Council is also meeting as the Redevelopment Agency. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Costello.
Here.
Council Board Members Guthrie and Arnold are absent tonight. Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Fellows.
Here.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara.
Here. As Kelly indicated, Council Member Guthrie had a previously scheduled event that took him away this evening. Councilmember Arnold got unexpectedly detained in Southern California, so that was kind of a surprise to him as well. So we're a little bit shorthanded tonight, but we'll continue on with the business. Item three is our flag salute. We're very pleased this evening to have VFW here to conduct our flag salute. Mr. Steve Champeau is going to do that. If you would please remain standing for our invocation, Pastor Robert Banker from the Open Door Church is here to do that as well.
Present arms. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Two.
Let us pray. Again, our loving Father, how thankful we are for all the blessings that we receive. We thank you for your eternal love and for your goodness to us and for all the things that we enjoy in this beautiful community in which we live. We thank you for those, dear Lord, who serve our community. And Father, we pray that you would bless them and reward them for their labors. And we pray, dear Lord,
So we'd love to hear about VFW and some of the things you're involved in.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here tonight in Chuck's place. Chuck is visiting with his grandson, who's a Marine, which makes Chuck even prouder, but he's been deployed and come back, and that's where Chuck is with him for a few days. Our VFW post is the Five Cities VFW, and we meet in Pismo Beach. Well, we have three big events now, but Memorial Day, our post leads the effort to decorate the graves in the Arroyo Grande Cemetery. This past year, the number was up over 2,100 flags that we put out for Memorial Day. We do that only with a lot of help. The Legion helps us. We get a lot of young people, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and people from looking to do community service. We teach those children who come out to help us a lot. We ask them to, you know, to read the grave, to read the year. They can figure out what war it is if it's not noticed. Also in that cemetery, not very many people know this, but we have a Medal of Honor winner buried there from the Civil War. And if you ever go by the cemetery, there's only one grave that has a flagpole by it. And when the cemetery's in full dress, they fly the Medal of Honor flag at this man's grave. It's a Civil War fought for the Union. Our other big event comes up in November, Veterans Day. We have a celebration this year. It'll be, and that keeps us pretty busy.
Good.
Thank you.
We're good. Thank you for the update. And we'll count on you coming back again, hopefully. Okay. Item five is special presentations, and we have some very special ones this evening. As some of you know, most of you know, the city functions, I think, as well as it does, largely because of our citizen involvement. And that's certainly true with those who serve on our committees and our commissions. And what we try to do when we find a good volunteer is keep them there for a long time. But unfortunately, that doesn't work out. And from time to time, we do have people who cycle through, and for one reason or another, there's a change, and we need to replace them. In other cases, one of our committees our commissions recently chose to sort of disband, and a lot of the issues that that they did address are no longer in front of the city as challenges, and so we're sort of moving that function into an ad hoc role. But we do like to take the time to recognize those people who did serve on those committees and commissions, and again, for one reason or another, are moving on. And this evening, I do have the pleasure of honoring several of them, and I'm going to move to the podium to do that, and then when I introduce them, hopefully you can acknowledge, along with the council and the staff. Time is called. If you would come forward, please. Gene Hubbard. Gene, it's my pleasure to present this certificate of appreciation. Gene served on our Historical Resources Committee and is no longer going to be able to do that, but we wanted to recognize the hard work that she put in on that committee, and it's my pleasure to present this to you. Thank you so much. And Gary Sherquist. And Gary was a member of our Architectural Review Committee and has since changed hats and now is serving the city in another capacity. But we didn't want to let the recognition go unnoticed for the effort that you did put in on the ARC. And Gary, we very much appreciate your input. It was very valuable, and we thank you. Thank you. And Ross Congable. This is a special presentation for me. Ross was my appointee, my second appointee on the Senior Advisory Commission, and that was the commission that I described to you earlier. We now have other ways of sort of getting feedback from our senior community here in Arroyo Grande. And so the issues that were in front of the Senior Advisory Committee have sort of dissolved away, and but we keep some key people involved in, again, some of those ad hoc issues that may arise in the future. So Ross, again, I appreciate. And once again, Paul, we thank you for your service on the Senior Advisory Commission. And once again, for the reasons that I've mentioned, that commission is no longer constituted. But Paul, we appreciate the effort that you put in, and your contributions were extremely helpful. Thank you very much. And last but certainly not least, Marilyn Fairbanks. Marilyn, once again, Senior Advisory Commission member, served us very well, and we hope that perhaps once senior issues do come up in the future, we can count on you for some input. Okay, we'll be sure to call you first. How's that? Thank you so much. And once again, we want to thank all of those who have served and who are currently serving on our commissions and committees. It makes our job a heck of a lot easier when we have good people like those who are here this evening and many others that offer their advice and counsel and recommendations to the council. It just makes things operate so much more smoothly. Okay, we're going to move on to agenda item 6. This is agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion that's not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on items that are not published on our agenda. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Anyone who would like to come forward, again, community comments and suggestions, items not published on the agenda. If you would please move to the microphone and let us know your name.
My name is Tracy Del Rio. I am a resident of Wasna Valley, and I'm just here to follow up on last week's city council meeting at the South County Regional Center. And I'm here just to reiterate a couple of concerns, and I appreciate the special meeting last week. It was very helpful. I have since received or acquired the easement agreement from the Porter Ranch and Acceleron's current revised proposal. And I'm only here as a word of caution and as something to consider when writing your letter, because you are on the round of referrals from the San Luis, the County Planning Department, but I understand that there's going to be a letter written by this group. So there's three things in the proposal that are, to me, interesting. One is that the Porter Ranch has, in their easement, made no statement as to who makes the call on whether the road is passable. And Acceleron says that in their revised edition that the landowner makes the call as when the roads are passable. And it's that in the event, and this is a quote, in the event a particular construction vehicle exceeds this weight limit, an alternative transportation route will be permitted by the County of San Luis Obispo. So in the event that a particular vehicle cannot make that bridge, which is it's a one-lane bridge. I don't know if anybody's seen it here, but it needs work, to say the least, that the county in this proposal, or Acceleron's proposal, is saying that they will find an alternative route. And the only alternative route is through the village. So it's just a heads up that this information is out there and is available, and there are contradictions. And so that's what I'm here to say, that when you form this letter, please be aware of those differences.
Tracy, do you have an extra copy of that?
I don't. I just picked them up today from the county clerk recorder's office. I would be willing to make a copy and give it to you tomorrow.
Okay. Well, your timing is impeccable, because I just looked at a draft of the letter. I wonder if I could ask you to perhaps meet with our city manager and perhaps our city attorney and leave that material so that we can make sure it's addressed in a letter.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right.
Thank you. I don't want to stay the whole rest of the meeting, though. I just came. So, I mean, not that I don't love the audience, but, you know, it's...
I tell you what, if you can leave what you consider to be something that would address the issues that you covered, we can make a copy of it and get it back to you.
Okay. Okay.
Could we do that?
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
You can go ahead and leave it if you want. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Again, item further clarification, independent discussion, or an independent action. This is also an opportunity for anyone in the audience to come forward and address items on the consent agenda. And if you're following along on tonight's agenda, those are consent items 8A through 8G. And so once again, I'll give the audience an opportunity at this point to come forward, anyone who would like to address any of the consent items. Okay, going once, going twice. We'll close the public input on the consent agenda and bring this back to our council. What is the will of the council? Any items tonight?
No.
Okay. With that, I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8G.
I move that we approve consent items 8A through 8G.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Anything in there this evening?
Excuse me. Yes, indeed, Mr. Mayor. Item 8F is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending Section 2.04.040 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding City Council compensation.
Okay. Thank you. If there's no other discussion, roll call, please.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem, Vice Chair Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to item 9, public hearings. We have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business. We have none. Item 11 is new business. 11A is consideration of a fire consolidation concept and alternatives.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. Coverage through the sharing of reserve firefighter personnel and a general overall improvement in our level of service through joint training, joint standards and joint command. These efforts are the result of many years of discussions between the South County agencies, dating all the way back to the early 1990s, which included a number of joint meetings between the elected bodies, as many of you may recall. Finally, in 2004, the City of Aurora Grande entered into a joint fire services agreement with the City of Grover Beach. Under that agreement, the City of Aurora Grande provided a fire chief, the City of Grover Beach provided a training captain position, and the agreement has been overseen by a fire oversight committee, which includes one elected representative from each of the agencies, each of the managers, and the fire chief. Since that time, the agreement has been amended to, or expanded, to include the sharing of equipment and the sharing of reserve firefighter personnel. The training captain position was replaced by the creation of a City of Aurora Grande battalion chief position, which is jointly funded by the agencies. And then most recently, the agreement was amended to include the Oceano Community Services District. Now, these steps and this current structure has been extremely successful in providing for a very smooth transition, primarily by establishing many of the efficiencies of a joint operation, but at the same steps in how do we keep moving ahead. Some of the issues identified include disparity in the funding provided by each of the agencies, disparity in salary and benefits for the personnel in the different agencies, the need to administer different labor agreements on an ongoing basis, and lastly, what most would consider some very non-conventional reporting and supervisory relationships and structures. As a result, most of those involved, while it's been very successful, most of those involved have seen this as a step, an important step, but a step toward continued efforts to continue to integrate the fire agencies more fully. As a result, the Fire Oversight Committee requested staff to prepare an analysis on the different options available for fire consolidation. And at the last meeting, that analysis was presented and discussed, and the Oversight Committee supported moving ahead to continue to work on those options. Three different options were identified. Under the first option, involves an arrangement whereby the City of Grover Beach and OCSD could contract for fire services with the City of Aurora Grande. This is essentially similar to the current arrangement utilized for the contracting of administration and training. Under the contracting option, all staff would become employees of the agreement. And lastly, the customer relationship tends to provide incentives to the service provider to ensure that the arrangement continues to succeed. The primary disadvantage is that it is often viewed by the contracting agencies as a decrease in their local control and identity. And of particular concern normally is the concern over potential loss of control over future cost increases. The second option is the Joint Powers Authority, or JPA. The JPA creates a separate legal entity, which is overseen by a governing board, which is established by the member agencies. Under the JPA option, the employees become employees of the JPA. And then normally the JPA contracts with one of the member agencies for overhead services such as payroll, finance, IT, and personnel functions. The primary advantage of the JPA is that the member agencies are equal partners with equal voting authority over decisions on how to govern the joint agency. This tends to address concerns about loss of control and identity. The disadvantage is that this can cause some problems if the member agencies aren't in clear agreement and don't have the ability to fund the future direction of the organization. The last option is creating a fire district with a governing board. The primary advantage of a fire district is that it can create an additional revenue source that would be independent from impacting the city's general fund. However, they're very difficult to implement. Staff believes it would be unlikely that Aurora Grandy supporters would vote for an additional tax for a district. Now, it could be established whereby the tax rate for the district could be set at an amount equal to a reduction or replacement of a portion of the city's property tax, so there wouldn't be any negative impact on the resident. So this might make it more likely to be approved. However, staff would also be concerned structuring it that way that it would really limit the agency's ability in the future to for revenue sufficient to meet their future needs, since any additional revenue on their part would have to be through an election some kind of election to increase the assessment or tax rate. For these reasons, staff is recommending that we not pursue this option any further. However, would not preclude a contracting agency or a JPA from transitioning into a fire district sometime in the future, particularly at a time where they felt that they had planned ahead and obtained an ongoing revenue source that they felt confident was going to meet their long-term needs. Now, in order to provide some context for evaluating these options, staff prepared some very initial cost analysis just to get an idea of what the range of costs. We may find that some of the cost for payroll and other overhead costs may increase the overall cost. We also may find that there are other efficiencies out there of consolidating that may reduce the cost. So we're really not really sure if the actual costs are less or more, but they're probably a little bit different. But hopefully this gives you a little bit of an idea where we're at. Based on a combination of population and service calls, staff prepared a formula for the allocation of the cost between the different agencies. So this is based half on population and half on service calls. Under scenario one, that would result in 44% allocation to Aurora Grandy, 35% allocation to Grover Beach, and a 21% allocation to OCSD. Now, we also presented a second scenario, which would involve an initial first step. That was the idea for it to be maybe a first step in implementation, whereby the cities of Aurora Grandy and Grover Beach would initially consolidate into one agency. Initially, at least, OCSD would continue to contract for just administration and training under the current agreement. So their current agreement would stay in place with the other joint agency. Under this scenario, for the cost between Aurora Grandy and Grover Beach, the allocation would be 55.5% to Aurora Grandy and 45.5% to Grover Beach. Then taking those allocations and applying them to the cost, and this once again would just be the cost identified to bring the different personnel from the different agencies into parity of just Aurora Grandy and Grover Beach. Total cost would be about $150,000. So this is taken out the cost to that would increase OCSD salaries and benefits, and that it also has incorporated the continued payment under the contract arrangement from OCSD to the other two cities. That's how we arrived at that cost. And then the breakdown of the cost there would be a total of $56,000, a little over $56,000 cost to the city of Aurora Grandy. When we move forward, the next step would be to prepare a much more detailed specific cost analysis. These are some of the questions that we would want to ask and address that could, you know, impact the cost of the overall service and how it could be allocated. You know, first, would there be cost savings or increases involved in consolidating clerical and administrative staff? So when we go beyond the sworn staff and combine the other staff, which we really haven't done under the existing relationship, there may be some opportunities to consolidate and switch things around or reduce costs there and become more efficient. The second question would be, which jurisdiction would provide payroll services and other overhead services, and how would it be paid for? So, for example, if Aurora Grandy were to provide those services and have a charge to the other agencies, then our cost might likely be reduced. If the arrangement was with one of the other agencies to do that, then our cost may increase a little bit. Would there be savings by consolidating other operational costs? So we're pretty confident when you start putting all the operational budgets together, there's going to be probably some savings in it. You know, that's something that would have require a lot more study and discussion, but certainly the flexibility there would be there to become much more efficient and effective. In terms of funding, when staff prepared the projections of the local sales tax measures that we recently presented to you, we did, I don't want to say program, but project in those figures some additional funding for staff for the fire department, which was one of the categories of needs that we communicated to the community as purposes for that measure. So we believe, in looking at those numbers, we believe the numbers here, if they remain accurate, are feasible, at least in terms of that funding that's been identified. So at this time, in terms of our recommendation, we would like to recommend that you direct staff to advise the Fire Oversight Committee to further study and develop recommendations regarding the contracting for service option or the formation of a JPA option, and then also any additional feedback that you'd like us to pass on to the Fire Oversight Committee. And, of course, Councilmember Costello is on that committee. He may have some additional things to add. And Chief Hubert is here to answer questions that you have. Thank you.
Okay. Chief, did you have anything that you wanted to add to Steve's comment at this time? Okay. I think in terms of clarifications, questions on the staff report, or perhaps some additional commentary, Councilmember Costello is our representative on the fire consolidation committee. So, Joe?
It has been standardized, and we're all training together. The ability to respond is definitely gone up. I saw a response in my backyard today, a number of engines going out to Oak Park for, I think, an accident down off 227, probably. And I think that the benefits have been very evident, and the benefits to the communities are very evident. I think we're getting ready to take the next step, though. I think that there's a natural progression here, and I think that we need to examine it further. The options have been presented before us. I think that very logically, the two that we should be looking at are either the Joint Powers Authority, as you've described, Steve, in your report, or contracting for services, and I think that's something that the other communities are going to have to think about a little bit more intently. But I do think that we need to continue to move forward and continue to professionalize our department and improve the department. I would like to comment that in terms of Royal Grandy, we look at the potential for consolidation, and we see a couple of different options that talk about no matter which option we take, the cost is going to be slightly higher for the city. And one of the rationales behind that was we're trying to achieve standardization in terms of salaries for all the communities, and the other communities are actually trying to catch up to Arroyo Grande. We've been a little bit higher. Natural question follows, well, if we've set the standard and we have the higher salaries and we're going to consolidate the department and move forward, why would our share go up? Well, there's going to be a shared cost for all the communities. Get into further discussion with the other communities and see whether Oceano is going to be ready to go forward as rapidly as Grover Beach might be, but that we definitely do want to continue this and move forward. I think that the advantages have been evident, and they're going to continue to be there for us. I think it's a win-win-win situation.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem, questions or clarifications?
Yeah, Steve, City Manager, The thing that stuck out for me was the increase in cost of $56,000. So I called you earlier today, and my question was, if we go ahead with the process, if it's such a benefit, why the extra cost, and what would we be getting for the extra cost? Your answer satisfied me, but I would appreciate it for the sake of the folks at home that are watching, if you would mind just repeating the benefits of going ahead that we'll get for the $56,000.
Sure, and then the chief may want to add something, if I miss something or leave something out. There's kind of a number of issues to keep in mind. One, as we mentioned, while the current structure is working extremely well, it is, as we mentioned earlier, based upon some structures that work well now but will be difficult to maintain in the long term. And the reason they work well now is because the staff are committed to making this work because they feel this is going in the right direction. But the ability to continue that probably needs to be tweaked a little bit to get into the type of structure that we think on an ongoing basis year after year would be a little easier to implement, where everybody likes where we're headed. They think this is good for the department, good for the community, and good for the agency. And they see that there's a plan to move ahead. And that's really what tonight is about, is developing a plan for the future. I don't think the expectation on anybody's part is that we're proposing something that we're going to go out and try to do immediately here. I think the objective of this is to start the process of working on some long-range planning in terms of where are we heading. That was the question the committee kept asking. We need to get some plan of where we're heading in the future. So the actual savings, while this particular change ends up in some increased cost, it's really the cost required to continue to maintain in the long term a joint agency, which is much cheaper than if we were to operate the agency by ourselves. So if we were to go back to the original model and operate it by ourselves, it's going to be much more costly. So it's a savings to that. It's a reduction in the savings that we've already achieved. But this is just kind of another step in getting that initial savings and maintaining that additional savings. I don't know if that made any sense.
Thank you. Yes, it did. Thank you. That's it.
Okay.
I had one more thing.
Well, the only question I would have with regard to what's in front of us this evening, as I understand it, we're looking at a more detailed assessment of the strategies, and that's pretty much it. The only thing I want to add to that is that, over the past probably 22 years, have either been providers or recipients of contract services, participants in a joint powers, and some of the entities, as you indicate, that I've worked with have been fire districts. And through that process, there's been really, as I recall, two motivations for reconfiguring independent municipal fire services. And the first is service level efficiency. The second, which looms large, is the fact that it's cost effective to do so. And so I guess if we're taking this to the next level, I would be very interested in, and I realize that just like any other reconfiguration, there are startup costs. But down the road, looking at our current configuration as opposed to any potential new configuration that we might participate in, would this study take a look at longer range cost effective measures?
Actually, that's a great lead into I remember there was one more point that I had made earlier to Councilmember Fellows, and that's a great lead into it that I wanted to add, is the other thing to keep in mind is where there's probably the most significant long-term cost savings here is by going to this next step and ensuring an ongoing consolidated agency. We can much better ensure the feasibility of continuing the structure of our current organization as it relates to the firefighter reserve personnel. and that is, you know, that's something becoming more and more challenging. Definitely extends the ability of functioning under this structure where we're using firefighter reserves for our firefighter positions, which has worked really well up to now and is very cost effective for the organization.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yes.
One of the things is a challenge for both Chief Heath and myself is the constraints of not being able to use the firefighters across the boundary, so to speak. We do have an OES unit here in Rio Grande and a brush unit, and there are times when we cannot staff two units to go out of county because those folks can't cross over. And there have been times when really we could have used, both agencies could have used personnel from the other if we were able to have that. I guess nothing would preclude the cities from having an agreement to have personnel go across the agency lines, but when you're under one umbrella and you're able to treat the firefighters equally, they can cross-staff those units and we could send more units out on a mutual aid basis, reimbursable mutual aid basis out of county. So that's been an ongoing issue for with that constraint.
Yeah, and I concur, and that's that would fall under, if I understand what you're saying, that would fall under the service of efficiency category, obviously, and service level efficiency. Okay. I'm looking at a number of firefighters and fire personnel in the audience, and so this is a new business item, but we typically allow public input on business items, and this is certainly an important one. So I would encourage anyone from the audience who would like to come forward right now, and if you would give us your three-minute observation of this particular issue, we'd be appreciative of your input.
Honorable Mayor, members of the council, John Schultz, Mayor of Grover Beach, it is always a pleasure to see everyone. Please forgive my fire engine red shirt tonight. I have been out walking the neighborhoods. I'm here to say thank you to Mr. Costello. Mr. Lieberman was our representative on the Fire Oversight Committee, and when we started this venture 4+ years ago, I think we all really were hoping for a best situation of a shared partnership and going forward. And as you know, Grover Beach, we made a substantial financial investment just to get to the point of a full-time fire department and the shared service agreements, nearly $1 million. And I just want to thank the City Council, the City of Rio Grande Administration, for being such great partners. And we know that you have shouldered a majority of the financial burden of this agreement. But we know that you remain committed and want to thank you publicly for that. Secondly, we want to talk about Grover Beach's commitment to consolidation. We believe that this has been a great partnership. We are moving in the right direction. We are seeing improvements every day, I think, as well as pointed out here tonight. And I'll just tell you that it is a priority for Grover Beach. I will be on the Grover Beach City Council meeting, so we are here taking your lead, watching what you're doing tonight. The third reason I'm here is to support Chief Hubert, Fire Battalion Chief Heath, and the men and women who serve so bravely. And I can tell you that the Grover Beach firefighters have been very patient. They have been tremendous to work with and to serve. And we just know that getting to a true consolidated effort so that we can get to parity on salaries, and I think as Mayor, you pointed out, we go forward in trying to do this with respect to service efficiencies and certainly cost savings. And let me just conclude by saying that the City of Grover Beach is committed to this partnership. We really would like to be a 50-50, or now that since Oceano is involved, so maybe a 45-45-10. I'm not quite sure how that number works, but the fact is, as we go forward with the detailed analysis, know that it continues to be a priority. I can personally say I don't want to see this city taking on any more financial burden if you cannot handle it, and we will make arrangements or rearrange some of our priorities to limit some of that burden. So I am giving you my word here this evening. So I want to just encourage you to continue going forward, as Councilmember Costello talked about this evening. The two things that we are talking about is a JPA, and I guess we talked about contract services, but we would really like to be a full partner with you if that means paying Chief Heath's salary 100%. I have been talking to the city manager about doing that. So just know that the City of Grover Beach stands firmly behind this agreement. You have been great partners. Oceano has been great to
with you.
So. No, I don't make statements like you.
Okay.
Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, I'm Jim Hill, President of Oceano Community Services District Board. I should preface my remarks tonight by saying that I believe I can speak for our fire committee, who's reviewed this item just this evening. However, our full board has not yet considered this item, although Director Mann and myself are on the members of the fire committee. Vice President Bookout, as you know, is on the fire oversight committee, and I believe he probably shares most of my views, although our board is looking forward to taking this issue up very early on. First off, I'd like to commend City Manager Steve Adams for an outstanding staff report. I think he's shown a lot of insight in fairly presenting the options that are available as we go forward. I'd like to also commend Chief Hubert and Chief Heath for the outstanding leadership of the combined departments, and all of the firefighters of all three agencies who have, in the face of pay disparity and so forth, given our residents all professional service under disparate conditions with great patience. And I think that speaks to the true spirit of public service. And I'd like to thank them all personally for the public service that they've provided in operating under these conditions and going forward. Lower paid member of the three-party agreement, we have the farthest to go in achieving parity, but I believe our board will be committed to doing that as we go forward. Certainly the disparity in pay among the organizations is a big stumbling factor. We recognize that that needs to be adjusted as soon as we reasonably can. Certainly a detailed cost analysis would have to go on, but I believe our board will be able to support that going forward. I don't have quite the crystal ball John has, and my fire engine red shirt is a little bit more off color than John's, but I believe I can fairly make some predictions that way. One aspect of the consolidated effort that was not really addressed is also the equipment sharing and overall equipment reduction efforts. I think that may also achieve additional cost savings as we go forward. And the efficient allocation of staff among the various jurisdictions was also brought up. I know all three jurisdictions have embedded structural overtime, and perhaps things such as hiring perhaps another captain among the various organizations might equalize that and result in further cost savings. So I'm excited about this. This is an exciting thing. It's something that, as everyone has eloquently stated, has provided great professional upgraded service to all of our perhaps a separate district. But I'm excited for the prospects going forward. I'm delighted to be the minor partner here, perhaps, but a partner with Grover Beach, Mayor Scholes, and the council in Grover Beach, and your council going forward. This is truly benefiting all of the residents of the area, and I'm proud to be associated with it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Patrick Irie, president of the local IFF, local at serves all three communities, professional firefighters. I'm here today, as we did at the Fire Oversight Committee, and show our support towards consolidation. This has been something we've been striving for the last 4 years, taking the instrumental steps, as Steve Adams showed you in the PowerPoint, all the steps have been taken the last 4 years. We feel this is the next logical step to do so. Like they said, what's been making this work is the desire of the department staff to make it work, the pay parity and so forth. I think you hired the right chief to do this. Any lesser chief probably would have thrown his boots away and walked, trying to deal with all the everyday things that come up with three different agencies, three different budgets, three different everything. So I think time is money, and the money that you'll save in his time by having one organization will take some of that $50,000 away pretty easily. I can't speak on behalf of the volunteer associations, but everyone's goal is to be more efficient, and I think our overall goal is to provide a better level of service to the community, and we feel this is the way to go to do that. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Patrick.
I'd like to say that the Grover Beach Fire Department, career firefighters, would urge to move forward with consolidation. We support it 100%, and we'll be there whatever you guys need in helping making that happen. And we just thank you for this opportunity for us to come out here and speak. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your time tonight. My name is Rick Rensick, and as you may recall, about 3 weeks ago, I stood at this podium commending not only the council, the staff, and the fire department members for a job well done. I first of all would like to publicly thank Mr. Adams for his personal handwritten note for my comments. I've been meaning to write him back, but very class act. I think if you don't recognize, I think that you're very fortunate to have him. As I stated in my last visit to this podium, I am in complete support of the efforts to solidify this cooperative agreement. I will try to be brief, but due to my background in this area, in the event I go over my allotted time, perhaps someone from the audience will yield some of their time. As I shared with you a few weeks ago, I've been in the professional fire service for 30 years, and I also volunteered concurrently during that time with the city of Pismo and Shell Beach as a volunteer for 26 of those years. So I bring here tonight a certain understanding of what you're trying to deal with. But tonight, I'm here to talk about fiscally responsible and responsive. And again, I commend you for that. You are not waiting for a crisis to occur, and you are not proactively dealing with what needs to be dealt with. Recently, I read a book by the title of The Fair Tax Book. If you're fed up with our tax system, as I think most of us are, I highly encourage you to read that. The latest fiasco in Washington is talking about $1 trillion. We don't even know what that means. On page 135 of that book, the authors go on a sidebar to explain what $1 trillion is. They explain that if you started a business on the day that Christ was born, and you lost $1 million a day through yesterday, we would still have to wait another 734 years to get to $1 trillion. Now, while everyone's wrapping their head around that, I have a summary sheet that I'd like to hand to you so we can discuss the finances that you do have control of.
Be mindful of the time.
Yes,
thanks, sir.
All right, as you can see, this is a summary sheet, and it has all of the cities within the county and what they pay for fire-related emergency services. Each city is listed along with its population, budget amount, whether they provide paramedic services, and most importantly, the per capita cost of that city's fire department services, fire-related services. Each city is listed from the highest to the lowest in per capita cost. Whether they know it or not, the citizens of your communities are getting one heck of a good value based on the per capita cost. As you can see, unfortunately, the city in which I happen to live and pay taxes in is at the very top of the list for both 2005 and 2008. In other words, it is by far the most expensive, not by a little, but by a lot. And at that price, we don't even have paramedics. Perhaps you can help me to understand why my city thinks they're getting such good value, but as a citizen, I don't see it, but I digress. Conversely, I'd like to direct you who has the best value on the per capita cost. As you can see, Rio Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano are at or near the bottom of both the 2005 and 2008 list. In other words, they are the least expensive in per capita cost. Additionally, even with your proposed increase in cost that you are considering this evening, all three of your communities remain at the bottom of the per capita cost. It is important to point out that the concept of economy of scale, the more people you have, the cheaper it is per capita. That's why Costco works. That's why it's more expensive for Oceano. Either way, like I said, the citizens of all your communities are getting one heck of a good value. As I stated earlier, I commend you on being proactive in dealing with what needs to be dealt with. As I'm sure you are aware, allow me to explain one other component, and then I'll finish up. In my over 30 years of tenure in the professional fire service in the local area, I have found that on average, the call volume, which is the number of emergency incidents that a fire department responds to, is increasing 10% per year. The math works out to be 100% per decade. The number of emergency incidents are doubling every 10 years. Escudero and Paso Robles recognized and addressed this between 2005 and 2008 by increasing service levels in their communities. Like the homeowner that knows it's far costlier to repair than maintain the structure, if you wait, it will be far costlier to fix the problem in the future. I don't know what the stats are, but I know quite often that there are multiple of emergency incidents that are occurring right in these communities, and that's one of the reasons the cooperative agreement has been worked so well. In closing, I would like to add that most people in the general public do not understand the business of emergency services. Although I neglected to point this out to you a few weeks ago, unfortunately, the general public does not understand what levels of service mean. Most people think that if they call 911 and a fire engine eventually shows up, that everything is good. They have good service. Nothing at all could be farther from the truth. The fire station is a very busy place. When I first started out, people used to joke about the fire guys just sitting around playing checkers, waiting for the next call. I've never played checkers. I don't even know how to play checkers. That's not been true for the last 30 years, and it certainly will not be true into the future. Your public expects the firefighters to handle medical emergencies, hazardous materials incidents, heavy rescue, ocean rescue, fire inspections, fight fires, and so many other very critical and hazardous situations every day. Training is constant. These firefighters are dedicated, and they're working their butt off for these communities. And they're providing a far higher level of service than the general public has any concept of. They have any number of special projects that they're continually working on at any one time. They need support from both.
All right. Anyone else who would like to come forward on this issue? Okay. Going once, going twice. We'll close public input on 11A, and we'll bring this back to the council. And once again, is there anything you want to add to what you said earlier,
Councilmember Custom? I'll just sum up, Ms. Mayor. I think, as I've said a number of times, I think that the system we have in place now is a temporary one that's working very well. I'd like to make it permanent. It's a win-win-win-win situation. And I strongly recommend that we go ahead and provide the staff the direction to advise the Oversight Committee to further study and develop some recommendations, and let's keep moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
I'll keep it short. My son-in-law is a firefighter for Santa Maria Fire. I get a lot of information as to what you folks go through, and certainly can support this.
Okay, thanks. Clearly, these days, as has been issued by or mentioned by a couple of our speakers, and as we all well know here, with our struggle with the challenges of the budget, I'm going to, you know, obviously support moving forward with this. It's the right thing to do for all the reasons that have been mentioned this evening. But I think along the way, some of the staffing efficiencies that a couple of our speakers mentioned and other potential cost-saving strategies that might be embodied in this study, I think, are critical that we look at it because it's not just salaries that we're looking at, but we're looking at those other efficiencies, I think. But really taking a good look at consolidation strategies. What does it mean in terms of equipment? What does it mean in terms of facilities? What does it mean in terms of personnel? That's where we're going to come out, I think, with a better idea of what the bottom line is going to be. And so some of these figures may well change and change for the better. So I'm hoping that that it'll be a good comprehensive study. And we are going to do this in-house, right? Okay. All right. So I can support this as well. And with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the council provides staff direction to advise the Fire Oversight Committee to further study and develop recommendations regarding the formation of a fire service joint powers agreement or possibly contract fire services with the other agencies.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for taking time to be here this evening, all of you who came for this item. We're going to continue on with item 12, City Council Reports. I'll wait for just a second.
Orderly evacuation.
Yeah. Okay, somebody having an organized evacuation route back there? Okay, I'll go ahead with... the SLOCOG report and the Slorda report. SLOCOG meeting, I attended that last meeting, and it was very interesting. We were looking at a couple of things. We were looking at, first of all, the new facility, the new Slorda facility, and there's actually SLOCOG staff helping that process out. Most of our discussion was consumed with the impacts of proposed impacts of the state budget on potential transportation projects. At the time, we did not know what the final state budget was going to look like and what impact that was going to have on specifically Prop 42 money. The other thing that we were concerned was obviously one of the earlier proposals by the governor for the 1 cent sales tax, and what a lot of people didn't realize was that sales tax, a quarter cent of statewide sales tax comes back to the COGS and, in fact, funds traffic circulation improvement projects and things like that. So that was potentially a backdoor transportation hit. So obviously, SLOCOG being the primary transportation funding agency in the county, we were very concerned about budget impacts. Obviously, with the passing of this budget, Prop 42 money remains intact, and streets and roads money remains intact, and fortunately, our tax money remains intact this year. But as you well know, our current contractor and some questions came up, and I think we're going to be looking at the potential for perhaps bringing operations and maintenance in-house at some point. That's one of the concerns that we have, and also continuing to work with the various cities in North County and South County to make sure there's continued coordination with local transit agencies as well as the regional agency. Also met with attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Mostly routine items. The plant is operating, continues to operate smoothly, and on that, There are several major maintenance projects going on at the plant or planned for in the immediate future, and John Wallace is our district engineer, and John made a presentation to the Grover Beach Council. It was very well received, and a lot of pictures of some of the ongoing maintenance challenges, and essentially it's going to be a rebuilding of a very dated plant. It's the systems out there are, although they perform well over the years, they're getting old. And so we've budgeted quite a bit of money in the future to essentially make sure those systems remain intact. And what I'd like to do is get a consensus from the council if, and I, you know, maybe this should be under council member items, but John did offer to come and make a presentation to our council to bring us up to speed, bring the rest of you up to speed on just how that plant operates. And it's actually quite an operation. So if I can get a nod of assent, that'd be good information. We'll bring that forward. Councilmember Arnold and I met with Don Spagnolo and Steve and the folks from Caltrans, and also our consultant and SLOCOG attended as well on the Briscoe Halcyon Harbor, receptive and gave us a kind of a punch list of things that we need to provide for them in the way of information and more detail so that we can take it to the next level. And that concludes my report. And we will move to the Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. The South County Youth Coalition did not meet 3 weeks ago, but it will meet this Thursday. I'll be there. As far as the Water Resources Advisory Committee, I was at the meeting kind of anxiously awaiting the information near the bottom of the agenda on the quagga mussel situation at the reservoirs. And the report that we got was very, very sketchy. So I got in touch with Pete Cheney, and he referred me to Don Mellon, who's a supervising ranger up at Lopez Lake, and I got some numbers. I thought, you folks, you know, my colleagues might be interested in hearing the numbers of what's gone on up there, and also the folks at home might be interested. About 3.5 months now, since June 1st, the numbers are there have been 6,647 boats in to the lake. Of those, about 2,000 had intact tags, 2,027. That is, the boats had never left the trailer and they were passed right through. Of the remaining 4,620 boats, 69 were rejected. You know, if they're wet in some way, they're not let in. Mostly locals on weekdays, no rejections. But on the weekends, they get 3 to 5 boats a day that are rejected. They're very careful to ask where the boats are coming from. I was starting to get a pretty good feeling about this as Don relayed the information to me. He even broke down that they were rejected. From talking to Don, I got the feeling that the inspection crew's been doing a heck of a job, at least up at Lopez, and a postscript is that they have found no visible mussels yet on any of the boats.
Good. Well, that's encouraging. Okay. Councilmember Costello.
My report will be very brief tonight. We had a Zone 3 Water Advisory Board meeting last Thursday. I was unable to go, and I don't know whether or not Jim Guthrie, as the alternate, went. So I don't know whether we have a report. No, Jim's not here anyway. APCD has not met. We meet next week. And the Fire Oversight Committee meets 2 weeks from today, so it's been about 6 weeks since the last meeting, so nothing to report.
Okay. Joe, on APCD, I just wanted to note that one of our speakers during public comment this evening was representing the Wasna Valley, and you're very well familiar with the problem that we have out there and the potential challenges. There's going to be a few changes, I think, made to that letter, but one of the recipients on the CC line will be the APCD because there are some air pollution control or air pollution concerns related to that project and traffic and other emissions and so on and so forth. So it would probably be a good thing if you could get a copy of that letter and speak to it at the commission meeting.
Be very happy to.
Okay. All right. Council members Guthrie and Arnold are not here this evening, and so we'll catch up to them next time around. And
a request to remove two blue gum eucalyptus trees on Branch Street. A recap, staff denied the cutting down of the, it turns out to be three trees, not two. The reasoning from staff, Parks and Rec director and so on, was that the, I think we all got the email from the Parks and Rec director. If they were hazardous trees, there would be a good reason to remove it. It doesn't appear, and I've been out to the site three times in the last few days, it doesn't appear there have been, there's a hazardous condition there. The trees are not near a building. Of course, near is subject to interpretation, but in my mind, any of the limbs that have fallen in the past have fallen quite a long time ago, and it doesn't appear to be any newly dropped branches. And I would like it placed on the agenda so that I can gain a little bit more information and present it to you and see if the council would appeal the decision to cut down the trees.
Doug, do you have anything else you can add to this? Feel free to come up.
There we go. I don't really have much to add other than the fact that the commission did vote unanimously to approve the appeal of Milt Hayes to remove the trees against staff's recommendation.
Okay, was there, I didn't see the staff report, and I don't recall getting a copy of that that email. Is there, what was the reasoning behind the
gist of their concerns? And if this does come to the council, I'll have a more thorough staff report and the minutes of the commission meeting and all that, so you can review that.
Okay. Maybe this is a question for you, Steve. The initial request to remove the trees from by Mr. Hayes, was that sort of a precursor, if you will, of a plan to develop the property? Was that the intent of it, or do we know?
Not that I'm aware of. That's actually kind of an area, if you recall looking back there, that we would potentially encourage some development back there to clean that area up. I think it's just maintenance and some hazards he's dealing with and feels that those branches are creating some hazards and maintenance work for him. As Doug mentioned, our policy has been pretty simple that we use a criteria that if there's no specific reason for safety purposes or damage to the tree or health of the tree or, you know, emergency access, or if there's no specific identifiable reason that the tree must be removed, then normally the recommendation is to,
okay,
to keep the tree.
Okay. I know you're reaching for the microphone, Tim, but this is, I think, necessary background information to help me make a decision on this. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I might, I can add quite a bit more information about the application to remove the trees, but I'm not sure it's appropriate.
Okay. Do you have some input?
I'm ignorant on this issue, so I've got no objection to hearing all the facts and discussing it. So I would have no problem with bringing it before the council.
Okay. I don't have an issue with it as well. I don't know about our other two council members, but they're not here, and so we'll figure out a date. Do we have a date?
That would actually be the next meeting, October 14th, because I believe Councilman Member Fellows is absent the following meeting, and then we'll be proposing to council the November 11th meeting. So it probably leaves the just that meeting that we'll have to bring it up then.
Okay. All right. Then we will move to city manager items. Any items this evening, Steve?
None this evening. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Item 15 is council communications. Anyone have any communications?
Nothing else.
All right. Actually, I do have one item. Steve, we spoke earlier today, exchanged some emails on the parking situation at Arroyo Grande High School, attendant to some of the sporting events, recent football games, and the encroachment onto private property as a result of some of that parking. And I don't know if you got the last email, but it came from some of our ag property owners. And so I think we need to take a look at that.
It's being scheduled this week with the principal and the chief. There were a number of tickets issued. We had some difficulties issued in the, I guess it was the week before last, Friday football game that got much larger than we had expected. So there was quite a parking, number of parking problems out there. Some of the responses were to complaints from the property owner where vehicles were parked on their property, causing problems, blocking access. So a number of parking tickets were issued. After reviewing the incident, although all the parking tickets were valid, the chief has revoked those under, because of the special circumstances, this one time revoked those that were not on private property or in unsafe locations. Then he's going to work with the high school, come up with a more proactive plan, get the word out to everybody. However, those type of tickets, the ones on private property, those were dealt differently. They were not revoked, and we're following up on what action we need to do for those particular ones, because that was really what initiated the response in the first place of the police to go out there.
Well, my main concern was, you know, the what appeared to be some inconsistencies. You know, there historically we hadn't written citations, and now we were, but I was not aware of the magnitude of the problem out there until some of the farm owners made it clear that, you know, we're not just talking about people parked illegally, we're talking about them actually blocking ingress and egress to the farming operation and damaging irrigation. So those are the things that I think we need to really focus on and see if we can't fix this.
We've done some very effective parking plans, in particular, specifically where there's private property being impacted.
Okay. I'm going to be leaving early tomorrow morning, but a couple of thoughts came to mind, and that is you might have the high school check with the St. Pat's and the other church there. If they're in the evening and those parking lots aren't being used by the churches, they're close enough to walk to the high school. That could be some of the overflow. And there could also be a bus shuttle from another location.
Exactly. St. Pat's had been used, but it's my understanding the other one was not being used. And so if we can get some arrangements made beforehand, it'll make it go a lot smoother.
Okay. Thanks. Item 16 is staff communication. Any this evening?
I don't think so. I was going to bring that same thing up, but I guess I'm done.
Okay. Then we'll move to item 17, community comments and suggestions. There is no one left in the audience, so we will move through that one, and that will take us.
And remind us, though, that Harvest Festival is coming up this weekend.
I was just going to say, yeah.
So let's have a good turnout. The parade's on Saturday morning. Hope everybody comes out and enjoys it. Something we enjoy around here quite a bit. And then stick around and have some fun at the festival.
And Mayor Pro Tem came up with another idea for the parade, which would hopefully increase our numbers and might be a little easier to negotiate instead of the tractor and the you know, the trailer, the hay trailer. So I'll let him follow. And I understand that you're going to be involved in that.
I will be there.
And I believe we'll have everyone there except for me. I'll be at a League of Cities annual conference, and I will be the voting delegate for the city, and that's my excuse for not being here. All right, that takes us to item 18, adjournment.
So moved.
All right, thank you. We're adjourned.